Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also encourage you to watch our TV program that airs right after this broadcast at 8 a.m. to 8:30 on Public Access Channel 6 on your television entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give a look. We also invite you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word, including these previous radio broadcasts. Our TV programs are there, and a host of other things that we can help you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We have been going through an overview of the Bible, but we're going to take a break from that in July because we are going to deal with a very important subject for this month and probably next month. We're going to talk about the sin of homosexuality. The sin of homosexuality is a subject that has been getting a lot of press lately and lots of discussion that has generated over the years, and with some recent events, it's become necessary that we try to explain and try to present what the biblical view is on this subject, that men might have a better understanding and would have a better understanding of the counter view instead of the one that is being presented by the minority of people in society, and yet trying to silence the other half of the discussion. And we'll talk about that during the course of these lessons. I want you to first of all realize that this is not a new problem. The problem of homosexuality is not something that just came along. It's a problem and it's been around for a long time. We see it first surface in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 19 in the record of Sodom and Gomorrah. We also see that it's a problem in our society. There are many advocate groups that are out promoting the homosexual agenda, the homophobic movement, the gay liberation movement, and now the New Alliance for Gay Equality. And many of mainstream denominationalism, even some in our community here, have begun to accept and begin to invite the homosexuals into their congregation and accept it as an acceptable act of life, of lifestyle. And it's the same as any other sin, and some argue that even it is acceptable because, as the saying goes, that they can't help it because they were born that way. Well, we will deal with that argument in these course of lessons also. But June 26, 2015 will be another date that will go down in the shame of our nation. On the 26th of June in 2015, the Supreme Court voted 5-4 that all 50 states had to recognize same-sex marriages and had to honor them as they made application for a marriage certificate and a marriage license. It was a 5-4 vote. It was a very bitter and divisive court, but the majority ruled that all 50 states had to accept same-sex marriage applications and give them the right to be issued a license so they could get married. This will go down in another one of the dates in our country that we ought to be rightly ashamed. The other is January 22nd, 1973, when Roe versus Wade was determined by the Supreme Court that gave the sanction for abortion. Since that time, we have murdered over 1 billion innocent children. And again, that is a decision by the minority, not by the majority, and yet it's a shame for our country because we have innocent blood now that we have to answer to the Almighty God for. Now we have another issue, the issue of homosexuality, that many have tried to make a political issue, but I want to assure you, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a political issue, this is a moral issue. and it's not determined by a small segment of our society, and it's not even determined by society itself. This moral issue has been determined by the God who created us, and he has been very clear, as we will see in this series of lessons. But I also want you to note something that was written in the giving the Supreme Court decision in the dissension. There was a statement made that I want to read to you that was part of the written discourse concerning the opinion that the court rendered. It says, finally, it must be emphasized that religions and those who adhere to religious doctrines may continue to advocate with utmost sincere conviction that by divine precept, same-sex marriages should not be condoned. The First Amendment ensures that religious organizations and persons are given proper protection as they seek to teach their principles that are so fulfilling and so central to their lives and faith, and to their own deep aspirations to continue the family structure as they have long revered, end of quote. Well, the truth be known that we're going to hold, nothing has changed for us. Those who believe the Bible, those who believe in what God has said, and those who adhere to the teaching of the truth, nothing has changed. What the Supreme Court did on Friday, July 26, does not change our view, does not change the Bible view, and it definitely does not change God's view. And so, again, we're going to stand on the principles of truth and on the statutes of truth as it's revealed in God's will, and men are going to have to make their own decision. They're going to have to make their own choice. And no group of men has higher legislative power than God Almighty. And that's whose legislation we're going to adhere to, and that's whose authority we're going to submit to. In another case, a Supreme Court decision in June 26 of 2003, in Lawrence versus Texas, they struck down the anti-sodomy law. It said in their opinion, the state cannot demean their existence or control their destiny by making their private sexual conduct a crime. And that was said by Arthur Kennedy, one of the Supreme Court justices. Well, if you want to take that particular avenue, that we can't control their destiny and make their private sexual conduct a crime, what about incense? What about incense? And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that that's coming down the pike. Pedophiles, they're going to insist that their sexual orientation be respected too. Now, you might scoff and you might laugh at that, but they're going to have the same argument that the homosexual used in order to perpetrate and to get their desire for being allowed to marry, and they're going to say that it's their right and that you're violating their rights. What about when a pedophile wants his rights to be respected because of his sexual orientation? What about polygamy? Are we going to go back to, as some third world countries have, where you can have more than one mate and you can follow polygamy? What about legalizing prostitution? It's legalized in a few places, but why don't we just legalize it across the board, because that's the sexual orientation for a great number of our citizens? Again, where are you going to end? Where is it going to end, ladies and gentlemen? When you begin to make laws and make opinions based upon the desires of the people instead upon the straight standard of truth that has always been accepted and always been abided by, it's not going to end in homosexual marriages. That's just the beginning. That's the first step. And if you do not believe that, you're being naive, that we're going to run into the same argument and we're going to have the same discussion with incense and with pedophiles. It's coming, and it's already been suggested in one state where a pedophile is trying to sue using the same principles as the homosexual, that it's his right to practice his sexual orientation. Are we going to accept that too? I guess we'll have to wait and see. The sin of homosexuality, make no mistake about it, it is a sin. Homosexuality has become an increasing prevalent part of our modern society. It has infiltrated our schools, our news media, our entertainment industry, the media itself, the mass media, and it's attempting to redefine our concept of marriage. one man and one woman, and the natural design for marriage that was instituted by God Almighty, that is seeking to be redefined. And men are trying to redefine what has always been accepted as the divine concept of marriage. However, homosexuality is by its very nature dangerous even to those who practice it. Even to those who practice it is a danger to them. And if you don't believe that, do a little research into the AIDS epidemic. What is the number one leading cause of AIDS? How does AIDS get transmitted? What's the number one leading cause? And without a doubt, look at any statistic you want to. It's a homosexual activity. And second is using unclean needles in drug paraphernalia. Both those things are illegal. Both those things cause AIDS. And both of them are because of behavior that is not natural, is against nature. And we will see that term and that phrase used in the Bible. Society is doing homosexuals a disservice when it endorses and promotes homosexuality. It is encouraging people to engage in sinful and self-destructive behavior and giving their stamp of approval on it as being normal behavior. Homosexuality is an issue of morality, but it is also a fundamental issue of public health because it leads and can cause many cases of AIDS. Before we begin to look at the biblical concept of this subject, and we're going to look at it, we'll look at the passages that we can read in the Bible. Before we get to that, we're going to deal with that next week. We're going to begin with what the Bible says about this subject. But I want to clear a few things up before we end our program this morning. Number one, I am not advocating, nor do I believe that it's right to hate a homosexual or a lesbian. I do not hate them. I hate their lifestyle. I hate their lifestyle because it's sinful. God says it's sin. And God says those who practice such lifestyles can never inherit the kingdom of heaven and can never be right with God. And it's wrong because it's unnatural. It's against the norm and the design of marriage that was given by God when he created Adam and Eve that we will see last week. And he put them in the garden and he instituted the one flesh relationship. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It was not two women and it was not two men. It was one man and it was one woman. And that has been the natural definition of marriage from the beginning of time until now those are trying to redefine it. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, our president in 2008, when he was running for president, our president said that marriage can be defined as one man and one woman, and it is a one flesh union, and that is the biblical design and the biblical definition of marriage. And at one time, he was very positive in the Marriage Act. But now he's done a complete turnaround, and now he called it a great day for America when the Supreme Court allowed and gave the opinion that they can now be married in all 50 states. He even changed the lights on the White House to show the rainbow, to show that he was in agreement with the opinion of the court. Yes, our president has done a complete 360-degree turn. But no matter what our president says, no matter what the Congress and the Supreme Court says, it is not going to change the opinion of the Almighty God. And we're going to look at his opinion beginning next Lord's Day, next Sunday morning. Please tune in and please come and worship the Lord and study his word with us. We would more than happy to have you come.